Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to go to verse number 15. Again, we're still dealing with the church, how it functions, why it functions, things of that nature. And as I said a few weeks ago, I'm not going in any particular order. I'm just going how God lays things upon my heart. The title of this message tonight is, Why is the Church Vital? Why is the church vital? And before we begin reading, let's have a word of prayer. And we'll go into God's Word. Heavenly Father, it is joy as we've come back and we are able to open up your Word. Lord, we're going to see some things tonight I believe you want us to learn from, and I pray it would be a blessing to your people's heart. Thank you for revealing some things to me this week, and I pray that you just use me again as we go from here. Thank you, Lord, for the ones that are here, for their faithfulness. Lord, I thank you again for reminding us about Linda and her health struggles, and Lord, we just pray for Dina. I can't imagine her heart and how she feels right now. And God, I just pray that you just bring her comfort, be with her mom and dad. And Lord, if you see fit to heal them, that'd be great. But Lord, if you see fit to take them home, we understand those things. And so, God, I pray that you just watch over them. We ask you these things in your name, Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. It says, But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is a church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is vital because it is the guardian of the truth. If the church won't hold and stand for the truth, may I ask you this question, who will? If the church doesn't stand and hold for the truth, who will? Why most churches fall today is because there is a lack of truth that is being preached from the pulpits. It has become more popular to tell people they can live their better life now. And that's how some churches will open up their services. You won't hear the word of God being preached. It's all about having their better life now. If we don't preserve the truth for future generations, then what we have stood for so many years could be lost. Turn your Bibles to the book of John chapter 14. We're going to go through a lot of scripture tonight because I want to see you get this from God's Word. John chapter 14, very simple verse. We taught on it a few weeks ago, and we're talking about the truth here. In verse number 6, it says, Jesus saying unto him, I am the way, what's the next two words? The truth and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And as he says this, this gospel needs to continue to be heard throughout this world that we live in. The church, as described in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, the church is the pillar. It is the ground of the truth. The question is that is asked here, it says in verse number 15, but if I tarry long, the question is, how long is God going to tarry? That's a question that you and I cannot answer because no one knows the day or the hour but God himself. And if we allow the very pillars to get knocked down from underneath us, it literally will be a chaotic world. All chaos will break loose. You think it's bad now? Think about it if the truth of God's word is no longer in this world. Remember I talked about in Hosea chapter 4 today about they had no knowledge of God? Think about those things as we rehearse this tonight. So how does a building or a house stand without a pillar? It doesn't. It simply doesn't. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Christians here are to contend for the faith. Turn your Bibles to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. Well, what chapter in Jude? Just turn to Jude. You'll find out. And when you get down to the last verse, turn to the next chapter and see if Jude is there. But in Jude, verse number 3, it says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. As a church, we are to contend for the faith. We are going to have to assert, maintain, and hold on to the truth that is given to us. We will at times have to argue the truth. And I'm not talking about argue the truth in anger and bitterness, but we argue the truth with love and with compassion towards the man or the woman that needs to hear it. God has a plan to reach the world, and that plan is dealt with us. He has commanded us to bring the gospel to the entire world. We dealt with that just a little bit this morning. And the local church will be the driving force behind it. We accomplish this with programs that we are familiar with. One of those programs that we can do as an outreach is we call missions. You know, we're pretty fortunate. I know that we have taken on, I believe, 50, 51 missionaries. And I know one is in consideration because of what's going on. But we have a great outreach program when it comes to missions, being able to give the money to them so that they can go to other worlds to give them the gospel, that they can come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, the neat thing about that is a lot of us will never see their faces until we get to heaven. And I'm looking forward to that day when we get to heaven. We're going to meet people that we never met before. They're going to come up to us and they're going to say, "Hey, thank you for giving of your time, your sacrifice, and your money so that my missionary that led me to the Lord, I was able to get saved because of your finances." So we have outreach programs such as missions. We have other outreach programs such as visitation programs. Visitation, I know, is not everybody's cup of tea. I understand that. And I understand people get nervous and when it comes to dealing with people. But you know what? God places people in front of our lives every single day. You know, we don't necessarily have to gather as a church to go out and visit, but we're able to give the gospel to somebody who's at the store, somebody who's at the gas station. We're able to do things of that nature. We're able to leave tracks on the cars that are at the grocery stores or at the shopping malls. That's another type of visitation program that we're able to do, and I'm thankful for those things. God has blessed us in the last few months of just us being willing to go, and I'm thankful for that. So a church is very vital. God can build a church without programs, most definitely, but he wants involvement on our part. A church that has no desire to reach the community that God has called them to live, eventually it will be just another building in town that is sitting vacant. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but I'm able to know this with the job that I have, the vacancies of buildings in this town that have sat vacant for years. I'm talking 10, 15 years. I drove by a house the other day. Most people might have seen this as they're coming into church. This house I know particularly has sat vacant for 20-some years. But if you were to drive by it a couple weeks ago, you would have seen a bunch of people, not a bunch of people, but you've seen a few people standing outside there known as hoarders as they went in and they took all their stuff out, taking advantage of the vacant building that was there. You go down to that old bank that's down there on Broadway, that's right across from the fountain that's sitting there on Broadway. I forget what that bank used to be called. It's sitting catty corner of U.S. Bank right now. I was in there about 5 months ago. I had to go in there for work. And as I was going in there, I was warned, be careful, because there's people that are living here. And as I begin to go through that place, boy, I tell you this, I was a little nervous. Being fearful of what was behind the door. There's a lot of vacancies in this building, in a church, in this community. But a church that has no desire to reach the community can eventually become a building that will just be sitting vacant. And we don't want a building that God has blessed us with to be sitting vacant. But how are we to reach the world? Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 28. Book of Matthew chapter 28 and verses number 19 through verse number 20. How are we to reach the world? It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, the church is vital. We can agree with that. We know that the church is important to the community. So how are we to reach this world? Well, we go by this, by going. The second thing that we do by reaching the world is by teaching. We need to teach the world of who Jesus is. The third thing is we reach them by baptizing them in the name of the Father. And we reach them by teaching them to observe all things. And finally, we do not go alone, for he is always present with us. At the end of this verse in chapter number 20, it says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Yeah, we get scared. We get nervous in trying to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. And there are times that we think that we're all alone. And in fact, we're not alone because Jesus is with us. So the church is vital for the community. The church is God's place to nurture the Christian. And how does this take place? It takes place by this, by the preaching of the Word of God. Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Verse number 5. And this is Paul's first missionary journey. And we went over this a few weeks ago. But in verse number 5 it says, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. So we see here, the word of God is important. Bible preaching works in our hearts, and it helps us to grow into spiritual maturity. Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter number 10. Book of Romans, chapter number 10. In verse number 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the church is God's place to nourish the Christian. And this takes place by the preaching of God's word and by hearing and listening to the word of God. I'll never forget a preacher's conference that I was at years ago with my dad. I went with him and another preacher friend of ours, and we went to the good old state of Ohio. And it was actually Brother Case's old church that he started and pastored for many years. And another guy came in and took that work over, and he was there for many years as well. And I was there at the very tail end of this guy's ministry. He's now with the Lord, just like Brother Case is. And I remember we spent, I think, 2.5, maybe 3 days there through this conference. Pastor was actually was able to preach there. I'll never forget his message that he had. Brother Prettyman, he was there as well. And it was the first time that I traveled with the both of them on a trip. I met a good friend of mine there as well, John Prettyman. He was there. He was an assistant pastor in the state of Ohio at that point in time. And I was able to meet with him for a few days. And that was a good old time. It was fun to be on the road with the pastor. It was the first time that I realized that I was in a hotel with two old guys. I was really on a traveling senior tour. It was quite funny. One guy couldn't sleep in the bed because it was too hard, so he had to sleep in a recliner. It's just the most comical thing. But I remember as I got there, I was just listening to the preaching that was going on, and it was really geared towards preachers, trying to be an encouragement to them, trying to edify them, and trying to get the ones that maybe were thinking about leaving the church for whatever reason, and just really being an encouragement to them. And I remember probably about the second day, there was a guy that got up, and he says, you know what? He says, I have no idea what I'm going to preach. And let me remind you, they've had weeks, if not months, to prepare for this conference to be a blessing to the other preachers. And for the next 45 minutes, this guy stood up there and told nothing but jokes. And you know what my thought was during that whole entire time? Why don't you just preach the word? It's not that hard to open up God's word, to let him speak to you, to minister to our hearts. I'll never forget that time in my life. Just preach the word. People have ears they want to hear. Romans 10:17, it talks about how faith comes. It comes by the hearing of the word of God. Verse number 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that, my friend, is how lives are changed. It is changed through the local church to where the word is being preached. And that, again, is just one reason to attend as often as you can. Another way for nurturing to take place is by fellowship. You know, that's been my biggest thing the last few months. And you say, well, Chad, you don't even partake in shaking hands. Let me just tell you something. I don't like shaking hands. I never have. I'll give you a fist pump. I'll give you an elbow. I'll even give you a head bun if that's what you want, if that suffices you. I'm just not big on shaking hands. That doesn't mean I'm not fellowshipping with you, but I am really big on fellowshipping. And so another way for us to nurture one another is to fellowship. The local church is a place where we can meet people who desire to serve the Lord and live for Him. And Christian friends play a vital role in helping others grow spiritually. I'll be honest with you, it does bother me that when we have fellowship dinners or things of that nature, the attendance level drops down drastically. But with that being said, I'm thankful for the ones who do stick around to enjoy each other's company. It's good for us to hear each other laugh. It's good for us at times to even weep with one another. Those are some things that are needed. And I'm thankful for those times. And the ones that don't do this, they're missing out. They really are. But I'm thankful for the ones that are here. The church, as we continue to go on, is designed to provide spiritual oversight. Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, again, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter number 2. Just going to read one verse here. Actually, let me read this whole thing. We went over this a couple weeks ago. Verse number 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So the church is designed to provide oversight. Christ is the head of the church, but he has designated the pastor as an under-shepherd who provides spiritual leadership. The pastor that God has given us is a gift from him, is a gift from God. And he is used in ways to give us encouragement. He is used in ways to edify us. He is used in ways to equip our life for spiritual growth. He is used in ways to help us to be fruitful and to multiply. And as he is a help to us in those areas, let me encourage you to have a strong relationship with your pastor and to maintain spiritual accountability with him. That's important for us to have. Your pastor needs you, and you need your pastor. And as we continue to go forth from here tonight, and my intent was not to keep you long. I've kept you long both services this morning. Finally, we will end with this. The church is a place to restore sinful members. It's a place to restore sinful members. Members are ones that have fallen away from God because of the sin that they were in, or maybe there are other reasons that they have walked away, but the church is a place to restore sinful members. The church is not only a place to where we receive grace, but it is a place for us to extend it to others, to those who have fallen beside us. When a brother falls down, it's not for us to laugh, scorn, ridicule, kick him in the face while he's down. It's our job to extend that same grace that we come to receive, help them along the way, pick them up, brush the dust that's on their back, put a Band-Aid on their wounds, show them love, so that they will repent of their ways and turn back to God. And with extending that grace to them, hopefully they will restore their fellowship with God and their church family as well. And that's what we want, and that's what we desire. We cannot be a part of that restoration if we're involved in sin ourselves. Which is why it is so important for us to be walking with God on a daily basis. So often we go around, we judge, we say this, that, and the other thing, and we're no different than the one who has fallen away from God. We have to walk righteously with God every single day of our lives. Can we overcome a sinful life? Most definitely we can. All we have to do is call upon Jesus Christ. He'll help us through those times that we are in need. He has always created a way of escape for us when we're being tempted by the devil. He's always created a way out for us, and that way out is through him. But we too can become victims when we ignore God, which is why people sin, which is why people fall away, which is why people become backslidden, is because they ignore God and they walk away from him. Our relationship with God needs to be maintained on a daily basis. No different than a car. I've used this illustration before. That check engine light comes on for a reason. It's there for us to, hey, there's something that's about to happen, and if you don't take the necessary needs, then eventually somewhere along the road, that car is going to blow up because we've ignored that check engine light. We don't want to be that when it comes to that with our life with God. The last thing that I want to see is a brother being rejected by the church in the restoration process. I've been a part of a church discipline a few years ago. And I tell you what, that was kind of a disturbing thing. And I understand church discipline has to take place. I get there are some needs that need to be addressed because of a brother who is not willing to confess of his sins and repent and walk away. I understand those things. I understand there needs to be some measures that need to take place. So don't get me wrong. But we need to be a help in trying to restore an individual's relationship with God. I hate to see a brother or a sister being rejected. Every single one of us, and that's why I say this, every single one of us could fall at any time. We could walk away for whatever reason, but the church is a place for restoration to the fallen believer who needs it, who got caught up in a sinful lifestyle, who for some reason decided to turn their back on God and walk away. The church is for restoration. We have yet to uncover all the roles of the local church, but as we continue to go forth, we will begin to see and discover what God has for us. Next week, I'm hoping to deal with discipleship, the importance of discipling new believers, opening up the Word of God, teaching them the importance of the importance of our doctrine and things of that nature. And that's what a church's role is all about. And we need to take that very serious. Is a church vital? Yes, it is. Should we try to attend every time the doors are open? Yeah, we should. And I understand we can all the times. I had someone come up to me this afternoon and they said to me, "You're stepping on my toes." And I said, "Please don't take offense. I understand why some people can't come. I understand that distance will keep people away sometimes. I understand that the loss of vision, not being able to see properly at night, will have somebody stay at home. I understand those things, and I'm not talking about those things. But I'm talking about when you just willfully stay home. The church is vital. Why? Because we need it for growth. That's what we need it for. We need it to learn about Jesus Christ. We need it to learn how to edify one another. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you edified somebody here in this church? Let me ask you another question. When was the last time you encouraged somebody here? When was the last time you just gone out of your way to be a big blessing? You know, I've talked about Linda these last couple of days. I tell you what, that woman is a tremendous blessing to me. She truly is. She'll just send me stuff out of nowhere, songs that have blessed her heart, things that I've blessed her from the messages, and she'll elaborate on some things, and she'll give her thoughts on some things. And you know what that does for me? It encourages me. You know why it encourages me? Because of this. It's telling me that one person's listening. I don't know who listens in church, but when I get that interaction from her, I'm thinking, somebody's listening. That's an encouragement to me. She edifies me, and I appreciate that. You know, she's not the only one, but there's other people that do the same thing. And how do we do that? By being a part of this church. Is the church vital? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, it is. And we need to realize the importance of it. Well, that being said, it's been a good night being here. It's been a fun day. I'm exhausted. My back is hurting. My eyes are having a hard time staying open, Q. My breath is horrible. It's coming back at me right now. So I believe it's Charlie, I seen you hit Teresa out of the corner of my eye when I said bad breath. I'm thinking, Teresa, your breath's going back to Charlie and Julie. No, I'm just kidding. But we're going to dismiss and we're going to go home tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this church. Lord, you are the founder of it. And we are grateful that we are a part of it. God, I pray that whatever is said tonight can be a blessing and can be an encouragement to the ones that are here. Lord, again, I just ask you to bring healing to our pastor. We miss him tonight. We love him, and we thank you for him. And Lord, he's really an example of what it means to keep on going when life throws you unexpected turns. So God, I pray that you would just watch over him tomorrow as he has his procedure done. Lord, everything will go smoothly. He'll be able to come home Tuesday. And we ask you these things tonight in your name. Amen.